It's Monday, July 12th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 781, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our July special, get.com, for just $4.95. Purchase up to three domains. Use code 495GEEK. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, you know what comes next? Strap in, because, yes, here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show, and yes, it's a Thursday night, and boy, I tell you, I'm glad that it's almost Friday because I am ready for the weekend. It has been absolutely pure insanity here, so much so that I actually have a report to finish tonight when I get done with the show, but that is the price you pay for really burning the candle at both ends. But I want to give a warm welcome to all of our longtime listeners, all of our Ohana people that are part of our family here. I do want to apologize right off the bat to Sam because there's supposed to be some new graphics up there. I got them this afternoon, did not have time to import them, but Sam Garcia sent me some graphics for the Ohanasaurus. I think you guys will get a kick out of them. Sam, it's some cute graphics, I'll have to admit. So we'll see how the reaction is on the next show when I have them up and made available. But I apologize I didn't get those up. Hey, of course, for those of you that are listening around the world, thanks for being here and being part of the show. And thanks for being subscribed. Of course, I want to make sure that you get a chance to, get over to Geek News Central and check out all our great content. You know, all you got to do is visit the website at geeknewscentral.com. You'll find the second column of the website, a place there to subscribe to the show. There's also the newsletter link. It's signed up for the newsletter. That way you'll never miss a single episode, no matter what, because I'll email you the show notes immediately following the show. Of course, the show notes for the show are at gncshownotes.com. All the links to everything I'm going to cover tonight. And of course, you'll find all of the information at geeknewscentral.com as well. Of course, all the RSS feeds there for all of our shows at the website. So we want you to get subscribed, and, really, that's the best way to stay abreast what's going on here. But you can always reach out to me on the show by doing so at Twitter, at Geek News. You can also email me here directly, geeknews@gmail.com. And we have our long, trusty hotline available for you 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. So that's available for you to contact the show. Lots of ways to reach out and stay in touch. And we hope that you will. Hope you follow us at Geek News as well over on Twitter. So if you want to watch the show post show, in other words, if you're not watching now live or you're not listening live and you want to watch the video of it, you can do so with our Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV app, the Tech Podcast app. Definitely get that in your playlist, and then you'll find Geek News Central in the lineup there. So you'll be able to watch the show if you want to kick back on your lazy boy or on your couch with your laptop in hand. Of course, take us with you at your portable media device as well. So I want to thank GoDaddy.com for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. Of course, GoDaddy has been with us since 2005. That makes 7 years. This is the anniversary month of GoDaddy. Of course, I announced at the beginning of the show a great deal for you. And really, all you got to do when you get over to GoDaddy.com is just shop around, find what you want. But if you want to save some money on some .coms this month, we've got this special offer, the .coms at $4.95 per year, up to three domains. Now, this is an amazing deal. So it's per year, up to three domains. Use that promo code 495GEEK. And of course, I've got lots of codes for you to use as well. If you want to just use one of the codes at the site, and you're not picking up domains, I've got a lot of codes at geeknewscentral.com /GoDaddy. So you'll be able to pick up those codes. And there's everything there. There's stuff from hosting, SSL certificates. There's cash off on basically on purchases of certain dollar amounts. I think I've got coupons for $30, $50, and $75. Of course, we've got $7.99.coms at a normal price if you need more than three, and 10, 20, and 15% coupon codes for a lot of other stuff as well. So definitely check out all the codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Chris, again, we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here for 7 years, and we want to thank you for your continued support of them as they basically help us continue to do what we do. Now, announced on the last two shows, a promotion we're running this month, and we're going to be giving away a prize tonight. Matter of fact, here in just a few moments. Basically, there's two ways to win. All you have to do is, if you want to win, you can send an email into geeknews@gmail.com. And you really just got to enter. Say, support the show in the subject line, and you'll automatically get put it in to win. But also, if you become an insider and participate in helping the show monetarily, you can do that way. So you don't have to donate to win. You can send an email with your entry, or you can donate to the show as well, and you'll get put in the hat to win. Now, what we had promised is we'd have a drawing tonight, and our first winner is getting lot 22, and I have no idea what is in lot 22 because it's all been boxed up, and my kids put numbers on the boxes. But Jeremy Thompson is our first winner, lot 22. Jeremy, I believe, is a longtime listener out of New York. So Jeremy will be emailing you, getting an address. But, you know, we're giving away Pogo plugs, Apple TVs, Google TVs. We're giving away label writers, a Windows Home Server, Drobo. We're giving away a variety of electronics, monitors, scanners, microphones, mixers, backpacks, computer bags, tripods, just to name a few. And then, of course, we know which package this is, but we've got 5 world-class cigars as well that we're going to give away. We'll have to have proof of your being older than 18 in order to get these. And we got a Garmin GPS, a Mac Mini, and we raise the money that we want to over this promotion. We're going to give away some cash to go along with it. The cash will come last. Those are not in lots, but so we'll be giving some stuff away, and it's going to be going between now and, you know, probably show 800 or probably show 800. And so we're going to give this stuff away little by little. And as donations come in, we want to appreciate it when it's becoming an insider here. Hey, we had a great week. You know, I told you I had 3 deals in work. 1 of 3 deals closed today. So I'm really excited about that. Got the signed contract back. It's a pretty big deal. This is one thing that we've been working for a while. 11-month sales cycle to get this client on board. And I'm really excited to bring in this new client on board. We'll be talking more about in the future when I can. But amazing long sales cycle to make it happen. But it's just 1 down, 2 to go, and it's absolutely outstanding. Did talk about some gear that I had had some issues, figured out what it was. A fuse. But the fuse is one of these weird fuses that I can't find anywhere here in Hawaii, so I'm having it shipped in from Florida. It's just kind of the amazing thing. A simple little fuse, and I had to go online and get it. Just completely nutso, but when you're dealing with special gear, that sometimes happens. Well, what I want to do tonight is I want to get right into the content. I got a full stack of stuff. Matter of fact, I have... there's too much tonight, and there was so much good stuff. I had a hard time basically knocking away a few articles. So you guys are going to have a lot of tech to listen to tonight, and we're going to get right into it. And going to start right off by everyone duck, because there's a massive solar storm headed this way. Basically, we had a giant solar flare shoot out of the sun today, and it's going to hit Earth with it's basically the geomatic magnetic storm is going to follow, and it's going to strike here sometimes this weekend. And they feel that there could be auroras as far south as Washington, D.C. So pretty exciting stuff, but that it was pointed dead on at us. Let me show you the picture that was over on Wired for those of you that are watching. And, of course, for those of you that are actually listening, The link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. But you can see from the shot that NASA took, you can see it's pointing directly at us, and we're gonna get whacked hard. So this was a G2 to a G4 on a scale of 1 to 5, and this is the biggest of the summer so far. And they say this could produce an amazing light show again over the United States. So we'll keep an eye on this as it's approaching. And of course, those of you that live in that hemisphere, we could be able to definitely see it when it arrives. Watch the skies that night. It should be pretty awesome. All right, next article up is, I just want to talk about this a little bit because I've heard some other shows poo-poo some of this stuff. And I think I've talked about it before, and this is not necessarily a tech thing. This is more of you that have parents out there. You guys know about these new, they call them bath salts. They call them a variety of different products and services. And they usually have logos and stuff on them that kids kind of like. But there was a new law put in place in 2012 called the Synthetic Drug Abuse Prevention Act. And they tried to shut down a bunch of illicit stuff that was being brought in and being sold over the counter as bath salts and different types of things. And really the people that are making this stuff was just basically changed the formula a little bit, and this stuff is back on the shelf. So I'm going to have a link up to this. I'm not going to go into any details, but this stuff is nasty, and it's becoming stuff that kids can buy real easy. So just be aware of it. And I'm sure many of you have heard about it. Of course, some of it's been, there's been all kinds of hype about people going crazy and chewing people's faces off. And, I don't know what the truth to that whole experience is, but it's obviously these foreign substances we don't want our family members getting a hold of and ingesting. All right, let's talk about Facebook here in a little more interesting, a little more serious from a privacy perspective go. But Facebook is basically, have you guys been watching when you're on Facebook and you've been looking at your profile? You know, many times we'll like things, and, I go through and I like stuff from time to time. And I had liked something a month or so ago, and I got an email from a buddy of mine, and he said, "Hey, Todd, I never knew that you specifically like scotch." And I'm like, "Well, how did you know I like scotch? I don't, it's a friend of mine that lives in Michigan. It's somebody I don't hang out with anymore." And he says, "Well, I love scotch too. But I saw a thing come up beside your name that says you liked a certain type of scotch that you'd liked on Facebook." And I thought, "Oh, that was kind of weird. That was nice to announce that to my buddy." Now, they're friends. It's not such a big deal, but many of us are liking stuff that maybe we like, but you're thinking, do you want your boss to really see that? And I know this phone's going to ring 3 times. My wife is giving my son a haircut, so I know no one's by the phone. Let's see how many rings it takes. Only took 2. Someone was close. And so anyway, we've got basically what Facebook is doing now, and some people are saying that this has political ramifications, is that let's say you go and you like the sitting president's, the president's White House page. And then all of a sudden, that's being shown to your entire stream. And every one of us have different political views and thoughts and processes. And, if you have your boss, basically as a friend on Facebook, and your boss happens to be part of a different political party, and he sees all of a sudden that you've liked a particular political candidate, it could cause you some discomfort, because typically, people don't talk politics at work. And if they do, they only talk amongst friends that they may know real close, that maybe have the same type of political view. So it's one of those things where even in tech shows, politics is not a good topic to get into, because you can be guaranteed that you're going to piss off at least 50% of your audience, no matter which way you talk about something. In the way this country is, people are pretty decisive. So here you have, you can almost be assured that in your Facebook profile, there are people that are on either side of the fence on any type of issue. And, but Facebook is basically saying this is to help people find interesting information, and they may see posts from a friend and a friend's likes. And those posts will include a social context from your friends who like the page and will respect all, and basically just goes out there and shows it. So you can't block a page that you like from posting again and again and again. So this is an interesting dilemma here. Now, we got some other stuff to talk about Facebook a little later. As a matter of fact, I have it linked here. No, I don't, but just be aware of that, okay? So you could run into that issue. So when you're liking stuff, make sure you're going to like something that you don't necessarily have to be worried about someone seeing it that's going to cause you some issues. Now, along with that, Facebook has basically released an event calendar as well. This is in response to Google Plus. So now you can put your husband's out there. You can put your wife's anniversary date in Facebook and get a reminder, you know, birthdays and the like. So there's no excuse, you know, where we've got too many tools now so that we can't forget. It's kind of funny. My wife was saying to me this morning, she goes, so where, you know, the kids got such and such event on such and such night, and what are we doing that night? And I, you know, that was kind of that loaded question. And I said, well, we're doing whatever you want to do on your birthday. And she goes, oh, you remembered. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, I just missed the bullet there. And so she responded, why didn't you surprise me? Why don't you figure something out? So I knew her birthday was coming up, but, you know, being a guy, it's like you plan it the day before. You don't plan it a week ahead. But so these are type of events, putting social stuff on, putting events on that you can make sure that you keep track of if you're using Facebook more. So again, they've put this under events. So it's listed in the calendar, and you can basically make an event so some of the people can't see. You can list it so it's only for you, which makes it decent. All right, I want to spend a little bit time tonight talking about two or three things that have come up in the past week here. And I really need you guys to be paying attention. You know, it's summertime. We're all enjoying the weather. Even here in Hawaii, the weather's nicer. There's less rain, even though we've had a fair amount of rain because we've had a couple of tropical storms come relatively close and dump some rain on us here when we don't normally get it. But in the House, Representative Lamar Smith, on the Judiciary Committee, has apparently learned nothing. That's something printing? I guess not. Has learned nothing from SOPA. And so what we're finding is that they're trying to push through a piece of SOPA embedded in another bill. And this was one of the most controversial parts of SOPA that they're trying to push through. And they tried to slide this through in the dark of night. They didn't want it to go to committee. It was just like completely trying to be under the radar, and they were trying to rush it through until some of the tech sites caught wind of it. And basically, at this point, I think we're okay. But they thought they were going to slide this through and get one past everybody. And this just goes to show you that this rep, if you're in his district, you need to send him a letter one way or the other on where you sit on this issue. But it was being listed as the Intellectual Property Attaché Act. And it was more extreme than the original SOPA. Now, what they did is they shared the draft on Saturday. And they announced that there would be, okay, on Saturday, and they announced that there would be a markup on the bill, which they never introduced, on Tuesday morning. So normally what happens, you officially introduce the bill, hold various hearings, make some adjustments, and then hold a markup hearing to allow for amendments. And basically, in this case, they jump right to the last step, completely skipping over all the other steps. So This just goes to show you that they're trying to put this through. Now here's a statement that was made. The House Judiciary Committee issued a petulant statement effectively blaming us tech folks for this turn of events. Say this week, the House Judiciary Committee released a discussion draft of a bill that streamlines IP attaché program to help safeguard American intellectual property abroad. Unfortunately, some groups and blogs have misreported that this is a follow-up to the Stop Online Privacy Act. This is not the case. The bill that the committee is currently working on is a narrow piece of legislation to ensure better use of patent and trademark office funds. The current draft increases organizational efficiency at the PTO and moves the IP attaché program squarely within the PTO to ensure direct accountability of the IP attachés. Since releasing the draft, which there's a bipartisan industry support, we are making some changes based on the feedback, and they're saying this like tongue-in-cheeks, since releasing a draft, which there's bipartisan industry support, we are making some changes based on feedback from outside groups and members. We plan to circulate a new draft bill of those changes to ensure that the development of this bill continues to be an open and transparent process. This is false. The language is similar to SOPA. And them claiming it's not a follow-up is a lie. And basically, it's part of a new bill. And some folks have written in public knowledge about this. He says, if you want to shake the ghost of SOPA, perhaps try not to rush through a bill you kept secret without having the normal process of public comment and feedback. So, but apparently some staffers feel sites like Geek News Central, Tech Dirt, and a variety of other sites are the enemy. So this is just goes to show you folks what's going on here. That there's a lot of activity going on that they're trying to get through in the summertime when we're all enjoying summer vacations and so forth. So if you have been sleeping at the switch and you have been enjoying your summer and you're listening to this show some weeks from now, which I know some of you do in the summertime, don't act too surprised that this is going on. So stay aware, okay? All right, moving on to the next topic here. The FBI wants to make it easier for you to tell your customers that they may be pirates. Oh, felonious pirates. Now, you guys know that copyright violation is often dealt with under civil proceedings. And there's very rarely it raises to the level of being a felony. But we've all seen the little marking on videotapes, right? You see the Department of Justice, FBI, anti-piracy warning. So, you know, they basically put these in videos to try to scare people into, you know, not duping videotapes. You know, there was some law passed where you can copy a videotape. But, you know, there is ongoing issues here where now they're going to put this mark in books, on CDs, in a variety of different other locations. And basically what they're trying to do here is to squash fair use of media. And we need to be aware that this is forthcoming. But they've set a bunch of rules in the RIAA and BAA, BSA, ESA, SIIA, these triple and four letter designated agencies and groups and organizations continue to want to discourage, I guess, for a better word, through these types of inflammatory warnings that you're doing something wrong by watching the media. But again, most folks don't understand the difference between civil and criminal infringement. And very few people would ever do anything to rise to a criminal infringement. Now, if you're out copying DVDs by the thousands and sell them in a swap meet, you know, prepare to have handcuffs put on you. But, you know, it just goes to show you that, once again, more things are happening in the space. Now, one win for those of us in the tech space here, Aero. You guys remember Aero? A-E-R-E-O. It makes me want to think of Oreos. I have quite the affinity for Oreos. I love Oreos. Matter of fact, my wife will no longer buy them because I'm quite the pig when it comes to Oreo cookies. They show up and they get devoured. So we just don't have them in the house to the less tempting. But Aereo has won a round against broadcasters. A judge has rejected an injunction and allowed the service to live. Now, if we remember, Aereo is the company that offers for a fee to let people watch over-the-air broadcast TV, not cable, but again, broadcast TV. Basically, what they do is they set up an antenna that has tens of thousands of antennas in it. You rent one of those antennas, and then you can have the media streamed to you. This was being a service being provided in Brooklyn and some places in Manhattan. So the TV broadcasters obviously flipped out because all of a sudden the broadcast media that's being broadcast can be watched on your mobile devices, right? So they lost a round. The judges said, hey, you know, this is to this point, they're, you know, we're not going to shut them down. But I'm sure this fight is far from over. And but anyway, they have won round one. We'll see where this goes on. Again, link will be up in the show notes tonight. All right. Now, last article tonight from a media copyright type stuff. Those of you that live in old Canada, our Canadian listeners, of course, you guys are all cheering today. This is huge. Canadian Copyright Supreme Court issues five. Yes, five. Count them, folks. Five rulings supporting fair dealings and fewer tariffs. So essentially, the first case basically is going to allow schools to copy copyrighted materials that they have licensed to pass out in the classroom. They're not going to have to pay for each copy that they make up to pass out for instructional use. In the second case, between video game publishers and a music collection society, the court found that selling video games does not constitute a new public performance of the music they contain. So in other words, when a video game publisher sells a video game that's got music in it that they have licensed, they don't have to pay royalties on that because they've sold, because it's not, the music in there is no longer considered a live performance. It's in a third case, almost the same, the court found that films that contain music are also not public performances, which do not require an additional royalty now. So this is huge. Now, the lower courts have gotten that one right prior to this. So this is three wins. In the fourth case, the court affirmed that while streaming music to users is a public performance, check this out, podcasters, offering music for download is not. Oh-ho. So services like iTunes don't have to pay additional performance royalties. It's big. It's really, really, I mean, this is big. This could have big implications for Canadian podcasters. Finally, the fifth ruling was a court that found a 30-second preview of songs provided in stores that were going to basically sample the song before you bought it is not is fair dealings, fair use, and they don't have to pay a royalty on it. So this was huge. These are five huge points, and a lot of people in the copyright and the industries there that were shaking down businesses have lost big. Now, that doesn't say that the copyright law in Canada is not without its own problems, because they're putting in these digital lock rules that go into effect with a bill that's already been passed. But some big wins here for those of you that are in Canada. So congratulations on that, and to those companies that were affected in schools and so forth. Now, I don't normally get a lot of tech articles and stuff off of Slate.com. But this one kind of surprised me. Did you guys know that Amazon is not so much fighting collection of sales tax anymore? Well, what they're trying to do, and the reason Amazon has backed off on this, and this is going to make all of you scratch your chin a little bit. What happens now? And at least for me here in Hawaii, I go to Amazon.com. I find something, and I shop at Amazon quite a bit. Matter of fact, I hope you guys see some of the affiliate stuff I have on Geek News Center through Amazon and click through. But Amazon, usually I go to Amazon, I look for the pricing, I kind of do some cross-checking, and sometimes I'll buy through a merchant store, but I buy a lot of stuff on Amazon and have it shipped here to Honolulu. Sometimes there's better shipping than others, and I can, you know, save some money. But what Amazon is basically saying is they're going to be pushing, now listen to this, for same-day delivery. Now, when they initiate this, and if they get this right, let's say they put in a warehouse in New Jersey, and then they have the ability to deliver to New Jersey, New York, you know, all of the boroughs and stuff within the New York City area the same day. So in other words, you're thinking about, oh, I was going to stop at Walmart on the way home and pick up this, or I was going to do that. But yet you can go online and you can order through Amazon and get stuff delivered to your house the same day, or have it delivered to one of those shopping, basically pickup kiosks that they're starting to set up at like 7-Eleven stores. It's huge. Because oftentimes I can't be home, I'm out and about or whatever, and I can't be home to meet UPS or FedEx. So if I could order something and then pick it up the same day or later that day, instead of going to Walmart and fighting the traffic and fighting the crowds and or having to go to a specialty store, huge, right? And if, you know, like for the New York instance, if they're putting up the warehouse in New Jersey, well, even the people in New York are still not going to have to pay sales tax because the warehouse is in New Jersey. So this is huge. Now, this is going to kill local retail. So this is big. This is really, really big. And can Amazon pull it off? Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, I was talking with Angela this morning. And, you know, we use Amazon Web Services for some of our huge builds. We have, you know, massive databases when it comes to our SAT system and stuff. And that stuff just has to scale mammothly, right? We're dealing with multiple, you know, tens of millions of data hits that we have to deal with on a daily basis. And the, you know, we're talking about the flexibility of it. You know, we're getting one, we have an instance that needs a more storage per month. We're, you know, basically running out of the processing area that we need to process all the data per month. And so I said, well, just, you know, just go ahead and double it, you know, and we're talking about the cost, and it was, you know, X number of dollars more. And I'm like, well, it's cost of doing business. And he says, okay. And so tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., he's going to bring the server down. And matter of fact, he's going to be able to update the server to a new version, make the larger drive size, migrate the existing database over into the new virtual RAID system, and have that all over there, and boom, bring it back up and be online and be rocking and rolling. And we figure 2 hours. So no way would we be able to do that with a physical server. And he can pre-prep everything and have it ready to go. And this is incredible. It really is, from a scaling standpoint. So if they can scale servers, they can scale retail, or not necessarily retail, but distribution centers. You know, they're that big of an animal. So we'll see where this goes. Time will tell, but kind of cool if you think about it. I like it. I really, really do. All right, do you have a Yahoo account? Oh, my goodness. Matter of fact, do you have a Gmail account? Do you have a Hotmail account? Did you hear about the 455,000 email addresses that were username and passwords that were exposed in clear text? So I woke up to this morning. Of course, this made the news first thing. I was as soon as I walked in front of the computer at 5:15 a.m. this morning here in Honolulu. Of course, that was 11:15 Eastern. Immediately went to the website where it showed all the passwords and basically loaded the 450,000 spreadsheet and basically did a quick search for the 4 or 5 emails I've used, my Yahoo email address. And of course, I wasn't in there, thank goodness. Search for my wife, search for my kids, all that stuff. But, you know, what amazed me about this, you know, first of all, the Yahoo stuff being not encrypted. Hello, that's like not even security 101. That's like the most basic rookie mistake you could get. And I guess people across the security officials across the U.S. are like what? And so why they didn't cryptographically store the data? I really don't know. You know, the PC world goes into this quite a little bit. Yahoo came back, so less than 5% of the data contained valid passwords. But this D33D group took credit for the breach. And they said, hey, this attack is a warning. We hope that the parties responsible for managing the security of this subdomain will take this as a wake-up call and not as a threat. But what really shocked me is I took time to look through the password. I just basically scrolled. And folks, please, please listen to me. If you do anything during the show, stop. Stop right now what you're doing. Look at the screen or listen in your headset and listen. Don't be like 400,000 of these idiots that had these passwords like dog 123, ABC Tony, Alpha Bravo. I mean, just no uppercase, no or lowercase, just a basic word that's in the dictionary and some numbers, usually a sequence that was 456123892. You know, it's just, you know what I mean? Nothing complicated. Nothing that someone really trying to get into account would be able to get into. And I mean, row after row after row after row of just simple passwords. And don't do it. Use the tools that are available on the internet. Number one, there's tools out there that you can log on your browser that'll automatically make you a password. It'll be this scrambled password. And then you can save it in, you know, like I use LastPass. You can save it there so that you can access it and auto log in and all that. Okay. All you got to do is remember one password and make that one a good one. And let the other software think about this stuff, okay? Please do not do that. You are setting yourself up to be hacked. I'm nervous about my passwords. I'll be honest with you. I have a sequence of numbers and letters and upper and lower and, you know, whatever else I use. And yes, it takes a long time to click, 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 click to type it in. But I am really, makes me nervous to think about this stuff when I see these just hundreds and thousands of simple passwords. Please don't do it. Don't do it. You know, I'm thinking of let me count here. I don't have no less than 16 characters, no less than 16 characters in my password, nothing less than 16. It's more, you know, and believe me, good luck getting in because it's complex, but gosh, folks, come on, please be safe out there. All right. You can put your head back down and, you know, not to pay attention so much, but no, just kidding. All right. Let's move on. Androidforums.com. Hey. Been on that site, Android users, androidforums.com. More than 1 million user accounts were stolen at that address today. So more than 1 million user account details were ripped off from androidforums.com. Here we go again. The entire forum, every user's username and password, compromised. Oh, it just makes you go, holy smacks. It really does. All right, let me go ahead and switch up here. And this is this article. This is purely science stuff. This is geeky, hardcore, techie, fun stuff. And boy, I'm not even a quarter way through my stuff tonight. Over at Science Now, there's a good article coming out of Dublin. And basically, people are trying to figure out how they are going to make warning signs that are going to last beyond our lifetimes and many generations future to indicate where nuclear storage is. Okay. So imagine that they, you know, in France and here in the United States and a variety of different places, they're trying to figure out where to put nuclear waste. You know, there's big battles going on all across the world. People don't want this stuff in their backyard. But most countries with nuclear power stations have to have a solution for dealing with long-lived nuclear waste. And most of these countries have come up with solutions to store stuff at least 500 meters below the surface. Finland, France, Sweden are the furthest advanced. So what they're trying to do now is they're getting ready to start basically storing and loading the waste. And they're going to be filling its underground pits for really up to the next 50 years. But what do you do when all of that is stored and you have a facility full and you backfill it? How do you warn someone that's coming in? You know, an archaeologist love to dig, right? 10,000 years from now, you're going to have someone come in and say, we can tell this land has been disturbed. We can tell that there is something 1,500 feet below the surface. Let's go look at it. Well, they're not going to know that it's radioactive until they get close. And probably by the time they get close, it's going to be too late. And they're going to kill a bunch of people. So how do you warn people? They're trying to think of how do you make a million-year hard disk? How do you etch something in stone? You know, how do you warn people for millennia? It's a good question, isn't it? We won't be around to worry about it. But if you, can you imagine being that, you know, the archaeologist 25,000 years from now, if we make it that long, that is like, dude, we got to go down there and see what's there. Let's bore down. Maybe by that time, they'll just be able to, you know, use their watch and say, oh, that's another one of those nuclear storage areas. We can't dig here. And then maybe they'll be smart enough to know that we were basically just said, oh, we need to dig that stuff up and use that for power. You know, it could be, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But anyway, they're contemplating this stuff. All right. Do customers share in the Amazon AWS outage that was basically happened a couple of weeks ago? Well, you know, Instagram and Pinterest and Netflix were basically out of action during their outage. And AWS obviously had some issues with their data center and the power generators coming online. But, you know, there's an article here that I'm reading at PC World. And for some reason, PC World hit the jackpot a couple of times tonight on thought-provoking articles. And they basically said, hey, these companies have to have redundancy. And, you know, when I think about, I know how much redundancy costs. And redundancy is, okay, Raw Voice, company that I'm the CEO of, we're a small team. We have a budget. We have to stay within. We have to make payroll. We have to have cash reserves. And we have to have, you know, we have to keep our expenses in line. So if I was to call Angelo tomorrow morning and say, I want redundancy across all of our servers, you know, first of all, his brain would explode. We do have redundancy in many of our services because we have to, because it's just having an outage is not acceptable. But some stuff you can afford to have go down and it's not going to be that huge of an impact, as long as we're basically maintaining our core collection stuff. And so in that case, we put in major redundancy and basically invested in that. So essentially what you do is you've got servers over here that are cranking, right? They're running, you know, full blower. They're doing what they're supposed to do. And all of a sudden a storm comes in and the generators fail and these go flat. Well, basically another service that's sitting out in another area has been basically pinging that site every 5 seconds and say, hey, those servers are down. Let's go into fail safe mode. And it flips the DNS and all of a sudden, boom, within about 10 seconds, the servers that have been sitting idle, but yet costing you the same amount of money each day that those other ones are working at are all of a sudden working now. Well, you may only need those servers for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours before the main data center comes back up and they can take over the load again. But the cost is double, you know, and I think about our data bill and I'm like, oh my God, we have to do double. And I understand why companies like Netflix just cannot afford to put in that level of redundancy. I mean, it's just incredibly expensive. So I understand the points, but you also have to do a trade-off. You have to say, okay, maybe we're going to have one outage a year that may last an hour. Is it worth having an outage for an hour? Or do we spend $5 or $10 or $25 or $100 million maintaining a server farm for an hour? And, you know, you have to weigh that. And in our instances, there's sometimes we can say yes, sometimes we can say no. We can afford to let that service drop while the server data center's out. But, you know, people are saying, you know, is you in the cloud? But, you know, data servers, you don't have to have cloud services. You can have a, like Geek News Central's on a dedicated server in, you know, in the GoDaddy rack. And something could happen there and Geek News Central could go offline. So, you know, it can happen even without a cloud service. And I don't have redundancy for GNC. If Geek News Central goes down, if the server goes down, I've got to get it back up. You know, I'm notified by text here, your server's offline. And it's happened a few times, but the longest the outage I've ever had is maybe, you know, 15 or 16 hours. But I personally can't afford to run multiple backup servers. It just costs too much money. All right, let's talk about Dig. This is just sick. I mean, a total fail. Dig is to be merged with Dues.me, which is a daily briefing service. The news aggregator website Dig has been sold to the New York-based technology group BetaWorks. $500,000. Did you guys know that Dig had received 28 million story submissions, 350 million article votes, and 40 million comments since it was launched towards the end of 2004? Did you know that they turned down a $200 million offer to buy the company? Let me say that again. They turned down a $200 million offer to buy the company just a few short years ago. And today, BetaWorks bought them for $500,000. Now, what they did was the Washington Post paid $12 million for the Dig team. Okay, so they Washington Post bought the Dig programming team for $12 million. BetaWorks bought the site, the domain name, the databases, the IP for $500,000. I am just literally blown away. This is just incredible. I'm just appalled. How could they have made such a big mistake? How could they have blown it this big? You know, the BBC is just, you know, they're dogging them. You know, the BBC's out there, the rise and fall of Dig. And, you know, it's just, they're just belittling them. You know, Dig was at one time one of the 100 most visited sites on the internet. You know, Kevin Rose appeared on the cover of Business Week. Wow. That's all I can say. Did you guys, hey, you want to hear something even more sick? You hear something more crazy? You know how much money they burned through? $45 million. That's how much venture capital, poof, gone, sayonara, see you later, $45 million. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. All right, let's pick up the pace here. NASA has created a 3D Mars mission app. This is cool. I looked at this. This new app, got to go play with this. Again, they've released an application for iPhone and iPad that shows how robotic spacecraft perform in two of the agency's currency missions. The app's called Spacecraft 3D. So it shows how the rover Curiosity and Twin Grail spacecraft maneuver to wield their external components. So definitely go grab that and pick it up, okay? I want to talk about the Boeing 787. Can't wait to fly on one of these. I'm hearing United is going to have one of these later this year on international routes. The Boeing 787 Dreamliner, powered by Android and 69 terabytes of solid-state storage. Yes, Android. Very cool. Just a few of the details on this thing. Boeing has taken 859 orders since 2004. They've delivered 14 aircraft, mostly to ANA, I believe. They're ramping up their production in 2013 to 10 aircraft a month. But what they're offering, two flavors of in-flight entertainment and connectivity. So one of these is Android-based. And very cool. It's all, everything is in the screen. All the hardware, there's a solid-state drive. Everything's built in. But get this, the Qatar Airways Dreamliner has a control server that has a 508, has 508 ARM cores, 32 by 86 and 382 gigs of RAM to power the back end that drives all the other monitors. That's incredible. And I can imagine how long that takes to boot. That should be a very cool, and basically they have these apps that you can pull out. It's this is going to be an amazing flying machine. Cannot wait to fly on one of these aircraft. But Android, powered by Android. Very, very cool. All right, Facebook is scanning chats and posts for criminal activity. Facebook monitoring software focuses on conversations between members who have loose relationships on the social network. One thing that this, you know, this kind of creeps you out, but if you think about what they're monitoring for, a man in his 30s was chatting about an adult topic with a 13-year-old South Florida girl and planned to meet her after middle school classes the next day. Facebook's little discussed technology scanned the posts and chats, detected it, flagged the conversation for employees to look at, who quickly called the police, and officers took control of the teenager's computer and arrested the man the next day. So this is interesting. So if you're talking crime or talking about things you shouldn't be on Facebook and chat or email, be aware they are monitoring your communications. It says the scanning program looks for certain phrases found in previously obtained chat records from criminals, including predators. It says because of the Reuters stories, we know of at least one predator who is being brought before the courts as a direct result of Facebook's chat scanning. The relationship analysis and phrase materials have added up, had to add up before a Facebook employee actually looks at communications and makes the final decision of whether to ping authority. So this is in chat. They don't say anything about email. But be aware. And in this instance, thank goodness they had it in place, but it's still kind of like a, we're scanning the chats, huh? Big Brother is watching. Facebook likes and adverts value doubted. A BBC investigation, companies are wasting a large sum of money on adverts to gain likes from Facebook. They say members who have no real interest in their products. I don't know about that. All of you that follow the... either me on Facebook or follow the Geek News Central page on Facebook. We've had nothing but positive experience. Of course, we don't try to get a million people to follow either. I think there's a little over 1,100 people that follow Geek News Central on Facebook. And I think, you know, I don't know what my Twitter count is, 23, 24K, something like that. So, but anyway, very interesting supposed deduction by the BBC folks. All right, imagine you are in... Let's give you a country. Let's say you're in Dubai. And no, let's not say Dubai. Let's say you're in, let's use Dubai. And you search for something on the internet or you try to get to a website and you find it's being blocked. And you talk to your internet service provider in Dubai and they say, we're not blocking it. Well, what turns out is that internet content blocking travels downstream is affecting unwary users. Some Canadian researchers uncovered an unusual example of upstream filtering, where online content in one country is blocked in another country due to improper filtering that happens. Basically, the media is transiting the country because of peering arrangements. And in this instance, they were using a, being on an ISP in Oman, and Oman internet users were being blocked because data was going through servers in... I guess in Pakistan, was it Pakistan or was it India? And basically the India filters caught stuff and they weren't able to watch something that they should have been able to watch that wasn't blocked by the Omani internet service. Now I know having been in Oman before, they block it, a lot of stuff. All right. Virgin Galactic announces new launch vehicle. This is pretty cool. They call it the Launcher One. And basically what this is a new carry vehicle to carry smaller satellites into, basically get it to 50,000 feet before launch. So very, very cool stuff. And they're going to be able to lift small payloads to 50,000 feet, drop them off, and get them boosted into the orbits they need to. And then basically a on-demand service, like fly in, load satellite on, and get you in the right heading and take it from there. So big news again out of the folks from Virgin and the Virgin Galactic series of spacecraft. Kim.com says he's going to come to the United States in exchange for his cash. You know, his extradition here was delayed until 2013, and Kim.com said, "Hey, I'll come to America, no problem, if you give him all my cash back." He said he will voluntarily go to the U.S. if he and his colleagues are promised a fair trial and money to pay their legal and living expenses. So we'll see if the United States responds to that one. Say, yeah, you can have your cash. Come on down. Remember Groove Shark? You know, the Universal sued Groove Shark, basically say they were infringing. Well, they've lost. Universal lost. And Universal angle was that because of the age of the music and the dating of the legislation, DMCA safe harbors were not available for Groove Shark. Yesterday, a judge disagreed, and this wasn't only a Groove Shark success. They're now going to be able to push ahead with counterclaims said to be worth tens of millions of dollars. So congratulations to Groove Shark at GrooveShark.com. All right, we're always looking for cool gadgets and stuff. If you're looking for a Steadicam for your iPhone, I found a cool one over on Ogizmo.com. And price is right, too, on this one. Not bad. Could be between $139 and $179. It's available on Kickstarter. So always looking for this kind of stuff because you can be guaranteed I've seen these before that are much, much more expensive than that. Also, for those of you that are coffee lovers, when you go camping or you're out and about and wish you could have a cup of Joe, I've got a cleaner, easier way to make coffee. And some of you that are purists are going to say, oh, bah, humbug, this is not the way to go. But if you basically, manufacturers made it available where you basically open the top of a bag, you pour in the boiling water, it filters down through, then there's a little side pouch piece that opens up, and you pour your coffee out. And they say this works. They haven't given a price on how much this is going to cost per bag, but they're claiming the coffee tastes better than brewed coffee, and I find that hard to believe, but it is the case, and it's what they have, it's what they're making and bringing to market. It's called Coffee Brewer. Let's see here. Do I have the name of the company? I do not. I'll tell you what, I'm so spoiled here in Hawaii with the Kona coffee. We, you know, when you get coffee in the continental U.S. or the lower 48, as I like to refer to, you guys get like a 3% Kona blend. I can get real Kona coffee here, 100% Kona. Hey, if you're looking to get some tracking on the water temperature of your maybe a koi pond or seeing what the temperature is that you're running in your bathtub, they've got a new temperature sensor that's in a little capsule. And basically, it takes temperature measurements of the water every 10 seconds. So if you're, you know, if you have an outdoor frog pond or something like that, basically, it's a little built-in device that takes a temperature reading, again, every 10 seconds. So it's waterproof. And I'd like to have one of these just put in my car and see how the temperature climbs during the day. He wanted to talk about a couple of articles over at Geek News Central. Alan has released, basically talked about the Game of Thrones, Seven Kingdoms trailer has been released. He's got that up on GNC. Of course, don't forget the latest edition of The Gadget Professor is now available to you. You know, gotta love The Gadget Professor. Don Bain, good friend there. He has put out some great products. I mean, great shows. He's on episode number 65. This one he talked about the Alltech Lansing 40-watt auxiliary speaker with a variety of other stuff as well. So definitely check out the latest Gadget Professor. Don does a great job with it. Of course, we got Robot Underpants. And be advised, that show is not always child-friendly. So just, you know, use that as some caution. Hey, obviously, when I was talking about Facebook and politics earlier. Did you hear the rumor that Romney may choose Condi Rice for VP? That's kind of an interesting pick. I would be very surprised if that was his actual pick. But it is making all, many of us probably wonder, who's he going to choose? We'll see. Hey, the Hubble Telescope spies fifth moon around Pluto. There's something lurking around the distant and icy dwarf planet. Yes, they have found a fifth moon. So the mini moon is estimated to be 6 to 15 miles across, smaller than the one the scientists spotted a year ago. So does that qualify as a moon or a rock? That's the question. Over on the Santa Cruz Sentinel website, NASA has produced 7 Minutes of Terror, and this is a pretty cool video. And this is describes with suspense the basically what's going to happen next month when a 1-ton spacecraft is going to smack into Mars. And I don't know if we've seen or you guys have seen. I don't know if I've talked about this video before. I think I had heard about it, but I have the link up in the show notes. This is getting cool. We are getting very close to this this event. And the folks over at the SantaCruzSentinel.com have the video from NASA for us. Of course, it's up on YouTube as well. But pretty dramatic. NASA has a lot of fun with this one. So we'll see how they how it goes. But you know, we have had other 7 minutes of terror as we have hurled stuff at the planet Mars before. All right, next article up. Let's talk about Twitter is going to be blogging automatic. Basically, if you put a tweet out, they're going to be, if you want, they're going to blog it automatically. I found this by Paul Colligan, and so kind of cool. And he's got a little video on it. I'll have that up in the show notes for you to check out. Paul's quite the character. Paul's a longtime podcaster, media creator, does a lot of stuff, affiliate stuff. Does a lot of paid training events, that type of stuff. All right, Google Plus is finally allowing you to merge your accounts. And I've had a dilemma. You know, what do? I've got my geeknews@gmail.com account. I've got my CEO at rawvoice.com account, which is basically my business account. So I've had nothing on Google Plus for my business account. But apparently there's a tool to somehow merge them. I'm trying to figure out exactly how this works, if you have to pick one over the other. But for those of you that have Google Apps accounts, you're basically now finally able to merge those two accounts together. So I'll be looking at this a lot closer. This was just announced today. And some people are already saying it's a little bit hokey. Time will tell on how it works out. Roku is getting ready to launch in Germany and Spain. I know we have a few listeners from both of those countries. So Roku's firmware 4.8, which started rolling out Thursday, has some new features as well. They've got expanded language support, adding Spanish and German to the user interface. So all you got to do is to change your language. Just go into settings in the Roku home screen after you do the update across. All right, you guys ever buy anything from the Apple refurbished store? Well, there's always stuff there for sale. There's nothing there. It's empty. And apparently they're out of refurb stock. So it goes to show you that people have been buying up refurb stuff at Apple big time. I'm sure that is going to be short-lived. Hopefully it's just the refurb center has been slow in putting stuff up online. Hey, Time Warner is so scared of Google's fiber that it's paying people to spy on them. In Kansas City, there's this poster up that says, "Attention Kansas City employees. Share tips, rumors, and rumblings about Google's construction and launch activity for a chance to win $50. Call 816-222-5671. Email kc.google@twcable.com. So here's what I want all of us to do, all right? So I want you guys to email kc.google, again, kc.google@twcable.com, and just let's send them a whole bunch of outlandish stuff that's going to be happening. Like, we heard they're going to give 500 gigs down or 500 megs down and 50 megs up. You know, just we heard they're going to launch next week. Start sending rumors and we'll have a little fun with Time Warner Cable. Do with caution, okay? I don't want to Time Warner all of a sudden cancel my account because We're teasing them. Nielsen has Android near 52%. Do you guys trust Nielsen? You know, Nielsen is like old school, aren't they? How do they know anything anymore? You know, they relied on people having things on their TVs that basically called home the mom and reported what you were watching. You know, that's how they were measuring stuff before. But Nielsen is saying that Android is near 52% of the U.S. smartphone share in quarter two, and the iPhone is eking out gains as well. So the way they've got it broken down, Apple 34%, Samsung 17, HTC 14, Motorola 17, other, and that's on the Android side. So Android at 52, Apple iPhone at 34, BlackBerry holding itself at 9, Windows Mobile 3, Windows 7 at 1.3, Symbian, a paltry 0.9%, and Palm, who's got a Palm anymore? Palm/WebOS at 0.6. It's pretty sad when BlackBerry's down to 9. They are just so done. They really are. It's too bad, really. Those of you that are in the App Store very often, there's going to be a new food and drink category that is going live in the App Store. So this is pretty cool. You're going to have a separate category now for food and drink. And so definitely check it out in the App Store if you want to hunt for those very specific apps. The folks at DARPA, you know, this is basically a big think tank, and they come up with all kinds of crazy ideas. They do feasibility studies and all kinds of stuff. But basically, DARPA's Tactical Technology Office wants swarms of small spacecraft that would go to space to attach to dead satellites. And then they would use their components to create new working satellites. Okay, so they're going to send a satellite to attach to another dead satellite. And then they're going to, yes, deconstruct and use the components to create new working satellites. Huh. Okay, how will these tiny satellites scavenge communication satellites? How would they tear them apart? We got a police officer coming, or a fire truck or something. You guys hear that? So I'm sure they're going to spend millions of our taxpayer dollars to figure out if this is actually possible. Did they already do that? I don't think so, but I tell you, these guys like to think outside the box. Boy, it's taking a long time to get here. And yes, they're coming by my place here. It must be a No, it's not a fire truck. Oh, that's close. Like, oh, I see the lights. Are they? Yeah, they rolled on by. Oh, they stopped close, though. Something's going on down the street. Excitement here in the Cochrane neighborhood. All right, last two articles for you tonight. Expect to pay for voice over LTE soon. Yes, you heard me correctly. They're considering doing that. They're already doing that in some overseas locations. So if you're using data, they're looking to basically make you pay for voice over data. So interesting move here. You know, a lot of these countries have blocked Skype and Yoigo. I guess that's for quick way to pronounce it. So anyway, if you're using applications or using data to do voice communications, the companies are looking at hooking you up and making you pay for that pleasure. All right, well, how do we do for time? Yeah, I guess we're not too bad on time. Finishing up here at the end. Again, congratulations to, let me look up the name. I've got it in the stack here. We got another one coming. I hear Jeremy Thompson, again, the first winner. He's got lot 22 of our prizes that were given away. Become an insider. Help support the show. Every dollar that is basically given to the show helps me continue to bring you great content, keep the lights on, everything else. Definitely support our sponsors. It is greatly appreciated when you do so. But let me go ahead and look at the email we have here. I got an email from Carmi, and Carmi's here in Honolulu. And basically, he was commenting on my Hawaii internet slowdown a few years ago when there was some trouble that they had here locally. But he says that he's having issues with his account, and basically he feels that he's being throttled a lot. And he says he's got a 1 meg up and 3 meg down plan. And he's not happy. Of course, here in Hawaii, you know, you guys heard about the Viacom deal. But here in Honolulu, we've got Time Warner Cable's blocking some Hearst channels as well. And so KITV4, which is here in Hawaii, has been blocked on Time Warner Cable. But Carmi, I don't know if you watch the show or not. I really don't have any answer for you on why your internet is slow. I have the 3 meg up, 50 meg down plan, and generally it's pretty good. If your connection's slow, I'd get a technician out. I'd call them and say, come out and look at my line and figure out what's going on. Unless you're doing something really crazy with your line, doing peer-to-peer and all kinds of other stuff, and they're not supposed to be throttling, but who's to say they're not? You're telling me what your speeds are, and that's really slow. I would go out online and I would double check on speed, you know, do a speed test and see what it shows, but also bring in another computer and try that may help you as well. I do want to thank all the folks that send emails for supporting the show. You guys are all in the hat for the drawings as well. Do want to thank email I got here from Ron. He says, hey Todd, the Korean government is funding a new program called the Future Flagship Program that will develop a transparent and flexible OLED technologies with an aim to produce ultra-high definition 60-inch flexible OLED displays by 2017. It says the project will be led by LG Displays, and he's got a link up to that. I'll have that in the show notes for you guys to check out. Ron, thanks for sending that in. And Ron's actually got a website. It's oled-info.com. I want to thank Trucker Tom for his for his email. This was on ca.news.yahoo.com. Talks about says new reporter, call him AI for a logarithm. What? Okay, I'm gonna have to load this, Tom, because I'm not getting the gist of the conversation. It talks about how reporters are basically are bots, and basically they got bots out pulling in data for news and writing articles. I think this is what this has. Yeah, talking about a computer who's basically out there translating raw data, such as corporate earning reports and previews of sports statistics, into a readable prose. Yeah, you know, we've talked about that in the show before, Tom. It's kind of crazy, yeah? They're just going out there and they're able to, they've got templates and stuff that are automatically set up to pre-fill it and post it. Of course, I did get the email here from Tim saying, hey, Todd, you probably heard about this, but just in case, about DirecTV and Viacom recently unable to reach a deal, and Viacom channels went dark on DirecTV today. So both companies are blaming each other, but it sounds like Viacom is being a typical greedy corporation, and I'm rooting for DirecTV in this one. I don't have a DirecTV, and I don't care for anything Viacom shows on their network. I thought it was further interesting that DirecTV suggested the users watch Viacom programming via the net, and Viacom made it very difficult to do so by immediately pulling many programs off the net, such as the Colbert Report. I hope more media providers follow DirecTV's lead. You know, the way I look at this too, Tim, is that basically, in order for these cable providers to survive, they have to start charging Viacom and these other groups more money to carry the content. And what that's going to end up doing is going to cause those of you that have cable bills to continue to go up. My personal opinion is that the DirecTVs of the world, are probably being a little bit greedy themselves. And Viacom, in order to stay profitable and keep creating content, need to try to hold the line on the cost or what they're going to pay via DirecTV to put their media up. And, you know, there's two ways to look at this, but you can absolutely be guaranteed if DirecTV doesn't get as much revenue from Viacom to carry those channels, they're just going to make your bill go up, you know, because they're going to get it one way or the other. Some of you had some issues with the PayPal button on the Insider page. When you press on the PayPal logo on the Insider page, geeknewscentral.com/insider, the PayPal logo is a one-time payment. The other payments below, the $2, $5, $10, and $25 links, are a monthly payment, okay? So just be aware if you're over there and if you're a little confused, I'll try to get that cleaned up and more clear so that you guys I won't be confused. Got an email here from Richard. He said, hey, Todd, I think if we actually saw a UFO, people are so connected to their electronics nowadays that they would have to ask Siri what to do, or they'd have to Google what a UFO actually is. Just a thought. Love the show, Richard. Got an email here from Ron, a good friend of mine here in Honolulu. He says, Todd, regarding the purchase of Lanai and OHA, state or citizen involvement, etc., it's a deal. The land was owned by a company, not an individual. Technically, he bought the company, which holds the land as one of its assets. So technically, the land isn't changing owners. Here's the kicker. Big money changed hands, and the state gets nothing, as there was no title transfer. So therefore, no gains or other real estate taxes due for the transaction. Tricky, isn't it, Ron? That's why these guys are rich, and the rest of us are just getting by. That's what it really boils down to. All right, that's it for emails. Thanks for everybody sending stuff in. I definitely appreciate it. We went a little bit long here, of course, all the emails and stuff, but thanks for participating. Again, consider being an insider on the show and helping us out here. Definitely appreciate it. Value for value. I hope you get a lot out of the show. We try to produce and give you a lot of great content every show. If there's things they can do to improve the show, to make the value on value better, please let me know. But again, thanks for our sponsors. And really what it is, and this is what it boils down to, it's getting expensive here in Hawaii. Yeah, it's getting crazy. So any help that you guys can give the show is greatly appreciated. And we want to thank you all for hanging out with us today. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. And aloha.